Is there a war against the church today, even in the United States, a nation founded largely for religious freedom? The Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. has issued a report entitled Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the United States. And now the FRC has also issued an update to the report, which, quote-unquote, examines the first 3 months of 2023 and observes a continuing and increasing trend of hostility, including violence and vandalism against churches, end quote. One of the key authors of this report is Ariel Del Turco, Assistant Director of the Center for Religious Liberty for the Family Research Council. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest, Ariel Del Turco, joins us right now from the Family Research Council. Ariel, thank you so much for being with us again.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so I understand, first of all, there's a report that you all put together before the 2023 developments. Why don't you just give us some of the trends about that report, and then we can get into just 2023 alone. It sounds like there's a lot of bad things happening today in America against churches.
Yeah, so last year, me and some of my colleagues became interested in what we felt like, what we perceived in the news was increasing instances of vandalism, other types of external attacks against churches.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Wasn't, in some ways, when the Dobbs case was leaked to the press about a year ago in May of 2022, is that when all of this began, or was it a general trend even before that leak?
Yeah, so this is a more widespread trend. So in our report that was launched in December 2022, we looked at the last 5 years of acts of vandalism, arson, bomb threats, other attacks against church buildings. We use the umbrella term acts of hostility against churches to describe these. So we looked at the past 5 years, starting in 2018, and through September 2022 is our reporting period. We found that over those 5 years, annual acts of hostility against churches had almost tripled. So even over those years preceding Dobbs, we saw an increase. But really last year, we saw a massive, massive increase of acts of hostility against churches, specifically after the Dobbs decision was leaked from the Supreme Court in May of last year, and then again after June when it was confirmed that the Supreme Court did overturn Roe v. Wade. So we saw a huge spike in the summer and then a slight decline, but the levels of incidents were still rather elevated throughout 2022. But even this year, we haven't seen those acts of hostility diminish as much as we might have thought or expected.
Okay. By the way, can you speak closer to the microphone with, you know, the rest of the interview? But real fast, have some of these buildings actually been burned down, churches burned down?
Yeah, we've seen multiple instances of arson that have burned down buildings entirely. Some cause extensive damage. So these aren't just petty acts of vandalism by teenagers. Some of them are more intense acts of vandalism that are leaving threatening messages, destroying windows, destroying buildings. We've seen people break into churches and just ransack the place for no apparent reason, and you'll see a small town pastor just horrified and upset and shocked that anyone would target his church. So even this year, from January through March, we only looked at the first quarter of the year so far. The acts of vandalism have been three times as many. That was in the same time frame last year. So we had 69 acts just from January through March. So this continues to be a massive issue.
Is a pro-life issue really one of the big bones of contention? I mean, is that part of what's motivating this?
Absolutely. So externally, we saw many of the acts of hostility last year were directly tied to abortion. We saw pro-abortion messages left on churches, pro-abortion demonstrations, fake blood thrown across churches, the interruption of worship services even. So those acts were very directly tied to the abortion issue. However, I think in general, many of these acts of hostility are indirectly tied to abortion, because I will have people write me somewhat unkind letters saying, oh, no, well, the reason that churches are being attacked more is because Christians are trying to take away our right to choose, quote unquote. So there's clearly a connection that people are seeing when they hear in the media constantly that, oh, pro-life Christians are taking away women's rights, et cetera, it builds a very hostile climate for Christians. And I think some of that is being taken out on our church buildings.
Yeah, this is so amazing. I mean, if you followed the abortion issue, which I have for years and years, and you see how abortion was brought in by judicial fiat. In fact, one of the Supreme Court justices himself, appointed by a Democrat president, didn't agree with Roe v. Wade. He just, you know, disagreed with it, and he said this is an act of raw judicial power. It's not based on the Constitution. And in fact, if you read Roe v. Wade, they refer to two amendments, Amendment 9 and Amendment 14 to the U.S. Constitution for the constitutional basis for it. And you can read those two amendments so you're blue in the face and realize, no. This is just something the court wanted to do, and they, you know, found a hook in the Constitution by which they could justify this. And so in 2022, a slight majority of the Supreme Court justices said, no, you know, we got to, you know, throw this back to the states because the Constitution doesn't justify the, you know, Roe v. Wade. But by then, abortion rights were virtually sacrosanct, and, you know, therefore to speak out against this, made you a bigot, supposedly. This is amazing. Now, could you imagine if the shoe were on the other foot? In other words, if this wave of hostility and attacks had been happening against pro-abortion centers or pro-abortion churches. I mean, we would be hearing about it in the media virtually every day. 69 attacks just in the first 3 months of 2023. I haven't heard much about most of these.
Yeah, and Catholic Vote does great reporting on attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers as well. And since the Dobbs leak last May...
Let me just interrupt you real fast. Just to be clear, the statistics you and I have been discussing hitherto are in reference to churches themselves, and that does not include the attacks against the pro-life centers. And please speak closer into the mic. Thanks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So my report tracks acts of hostility against churches, but other organizations, especially Catholic Vote, stands out as a great organization that has been tracking specifically acts of hostility or attacks against pro-life pregnancy centers across the country. So they have counted 86 acts of hostility against pro-life pregnancy centers since the Dobbs leak last May. So we see pro-abortion activists willing to take out their rage and their frustration and their anger off of, firstly, churches, who it's not directly our fault, but also pro-life pregnancy centers that are helping these women that are in vulnerable situations that want help, are desperate for help. How could you oppose these pregnancy centers, and yet they're the victims of violence from these pro-abortion activists? And I think this isn't going to diminish. I think Christians and churches are seen as some of the last holdouts against some of these dogmas of the sexual revolution. That includes contraception, abortion, same-sex marriage, transgenderism. It's really just strong Bible-believing Christian churches and Christians that are willing to articulate strong positions against these things. And we're living in a culture that is less and less tolerant of any diversion from these secular dogmas now?
Well, first of all, I think the media is part of the problem because, as I said earlier, if the shoe were on the other foot, we would hear nothing, we'd hear all the time about this, where this is, in some ways, is almost a media blackout on this whole point. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's surprising because these instances are very widespread. So in our report that covered from 2018 to 2022, we saw acts of hostility against churches in 45 states plus Washington, D.C. In this year's report alone, we've seen acts in 29 states. And some of the states aren't what people would expect, I think. It's not just a blue state problem. We see these happening in red and blue states alike. So in 2023, the states that had the highest number of attacks were North Carolina, Ohio, and Tennessee. So we might want to comfort ourselves by saying, oh, this is a blue state problem, or this is a problem in big cities. But I don't think the evidence supports that. This is really a problem that can affect all of us.
Is this mostly a Catholic problem? In other words, is it mostly Catholic churches that are on the receiving end of this hostility and violence?
Yes, so the majority of churches that we saw face these acts of hostility were Catholic. And I think that goes back to what we were saying. The Catholic Church is seen as a strong opponent of abortion, strongly pro-life, standing against some of these trends, these dogmas from the sexual revolution that mainstream culture has now adopted. And I think also Catholic churches, they're externally beautiful. They have statues that it's just easier for people to take their rage out on. They're sometimes in big cities where people can access the churches. So I think there are a lot of reasons that Catholic churches would be a primary target, but it's really sad to see.
Did you say that there have been some instances of interruptions of services by some of these protesters?
Yes, so that was the minority of instances that we looked at. However, this was specifically after the Dobbs decision last year that we saw many interruptions of mass. So people would come in Handmaid's Tale costumes, for example. This TV show meant to depict an almost apocalyptic world where women have no rights, as if the Catholic Church stands for that somehow just by being pro-life. We also saw demonstrations that they were called die-ins, where protesters would be outside a Catholic church during mass, laying on the ground and throw fake blood over themselves, suggesting that by being pro-life, Catholic churches were going to cause women to die. So all of these very absurd protests really, I think, openly wanting to interrupt the normal workings of a church service. This is horrible behavior. And even for people on the left, it should be easy for them to condemn this, right? It's not a sign of a healthy democracy at all if one side of the aisle loses a political debate and then goes out and shows disrespect at churches, interrupts worship services, commits crimes against these churches, vandalizes, destroys property. This is not the sign of a healthy democracy at all. And I think even the progressive left should be much more concerned about this than they have been.
Well, we have about half a minute or so left. I assume that a lot of these churches have had to beef up security.
Yeah, and I would recommend that, especially have video cameras be documenting these attacks. That can all go a long way, firstly towards deterrence, but also towards documentation, right? You're able to show both the police and the public what is happening.
Okay, we will link to this article and the update as well, and the website is frc.org. So Ariel Del Turco, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you for having me.